We're thankful to God for the opportunity to speak on his behalf, and we're thankful to have known Brother Gaius. And to those who don't know me that are visiting here with us, we thank you for being here to support the family. And certainly we thankful to God for all of his goodness. God is not good just sometime, but God is good all of the time. So Sister Gaius and Brother Gaius, since I've been a minister here, I've been faithful to this congregation and good people. The whole family that I've met is good people. And the eulogy has been done. Everyone is speaking well of the deceased. So I just want to say that, since guys, I've preached a long time, a lot of funerals. But only over the last year I understood what a wife would feel. Or what a spouse would feel. So I'm gonna be short. Because I'm also learning that life is short. And people who want to obey God are gonna do it if they want to, and they ain't gonna do it if they don't want to. You know, I just preach an hour to them to make them obey. But I do know why we're here, and I know my charge and my purpose. And that is to remind me and you that we too one day must close our eyes for the last time, and our tongues will be silenced by death. And our heads will lay on a dying pillow, never to get up, never to come back. It's like water spilled in the ground. You can't scoop it up. There's no undo button. You can wish, you can cry, you can beg. But they're not coming back. So what do we do with this day? The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, what is better for man? Start at verse 1 and read it. What's better for man is not feasting. He said, what is better for man is not laughing. What's better for man is that he go into a state of mourning. And what death do is put us in a state of mourning. For the countenance of man is made better, his heart. What this few minutes are doing for all of us, it makes us have to think we too got to lay there. And that's the design of death. Sorrow is better than laughter. That's what the Bible says. You said, well, Brother Brooks, what are you saying that this is better for me than being at the mall today? I could be happy driving my car. Yeah, no. God is saying, Brother Gaius has brought you and sit you down in the house of mourning. And you wouldn't have came without death. That's why we're here. So my job now is to speak well of the deceased who resurrected. But here's what I want to say. Just reading and listening, and they call it Rob, you know, and I was listening to see if they're going to say Rob. But the way they wrote it, some obviously he was called Rob by you. Was that right? Rob. Rob was a believer. And you can tell what his daughter said. He was a believer in the book. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that belief led him to be baptized as commanded in the scripture. Rob was a man of faith through the storms he went through. He trusted in God. And as Luro so beautifully, it's a shame you ain't leading church songs, but I have to tell him that because he's a member here. Anybody can sing like that, I'll be singing every Sunday. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. I had to say it anyway, it's right. Got that kind of talent, don't bury it. But he said God would not fail in that song. Yeah. And in his obituary, they say Rob was man who, through the storms of life, trusted God. Rob was a a servant. He served. He went to the nursing homes. He drove the church van. He served God. Amen. 30 plus years at this location. Rob was a servant. He didn't just pew warm like some men. Get their communion and go home every Sunday. He served. He was a servant of the Lord. Rob was an educated man, went to high school, then went to college, got his welding degree. Rob was educated. Rob was a military man, served his country, knew discipline. He had to say yes, sir, no, sir. He had to make his beds up and do PT and whatever he had to do. Rob was a businessman. A man who understood that you can't make money wearing your pants down, not going to work. Rob was a man who inspired other men to become what others say. You do what you what others won't do, and you have what others won't have. Like this young man, the man he gave the bus to. I'll say, I ain't never heard nobody giving a bus to somebody, but he did. Rob was an entrepreneur, a businessman, inspiration to the young man, inspiration to his daughter. She had a book in front of him. He's kindly reminded her, you can sing. Don't make excuses for not obeying God. Just do what you can do. Sounds like a man with wisdom to me. Amen. Rob was a husband. And obviously, he was devoted to that wife. Because only death did him apart. He didn't leave her. Rob was a father. A man who understood his responsibility to his children. Rob was a grandfather. So we look at all the things we can say about Rob. Here's something I know about him, biblically speaking. In my opinion, he was not a fool. Rob was not a fool. And Rob was a rich man. What are you saying, bro? I'm not talking about money. Rob was rich toward God. And here's why I say that. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 15, 12. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speaking of Jesus, to my brother that divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who am I, a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life. Talked about his life, didn't they? You talked about his life. They talked about his life. But it consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. When he spake this parable unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. He spake a parable to him to help him better understand what he was saying. And the master teacher said, The man, a certain rich man, brought forth plentifully stuff in life. He thought within himself, he started thinking to himself, saying, What shall I do? Notice the eyes and the eyes and the eyes. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to spoil my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will be, I'll bestow unto all my fruits and my goods. And I will say, Notice who he was talking to the whole time. The one that God would judge. Is the one that's thinking right now, your soul. He said, I'll say to my soul, soul, you got much goods. Soul, your goods are laid up for many more years. Take, eat, ease, drink, enjoy life, soul, be merry. But God said, thou fool. I said two things. In my opinion, he was not a fool. God said, thou fool, this night, your night coming, my night coming, but will you die a fool? Your soul shall be required. God said, when I say so, it's over and done. It's time for the soul to speak to me. It's appointed to man once to die. And after that, a judgment. He said, now, then God asked him a question. With all your I will, I statements about the stuff that means nothing in life, who shall those things be when thou has what thou has provided? And so the master teacher closes it out. And I'm going to do that too. He said, so is he that laid up treasures for himself, but not rich toward God. I said there's two things I believe about him. I believe he was not a fool, and I believe he was rich toward God. Why? Because of what I know of his faithfulness to the Lord. I'm not talking about just morning service, I attend the afternoon service, Wednesday night. I'm talking about the things I mentioned. So I would just say to all of us in here, how will you die? Will you die a fool? Or will you die rich toward God? Amen. Will your I wills catch up on you on your night? So you say, well, Brother Brooks, so what does it got to do? Here's why I'm saying this. At the end of the day, it's about our souls. It's about our souls. So I'm going to say to his children, to his grandchildren, to his brothers, to his friends from Mississippi, from people who know him, I want to say, listen to what he done based on what we believe in the Bible. This is what I want to tell you. This. Here's why I don't think he was a fool, my opinion. I can't judge him. I don't know. Nobody's perfect. I know that. He have to give and count anything. But what I saw him do in my life, physically, and I know what he believed because he said on my preaching for going on 13 years now. And that's pretty hard to do because I can be tough at times. But I learned to be tough on myself first. I've learned that. You got to be tough on yourself to go to heaven. And you got to have a heart that can say, I ask for forgiveness, whether they forgive you or not. Something leads to that called belief. He was a man of faith, believing that this book's right. Why do the brother guys believe that this book's right? Because what the book says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions. That's what he instructed his daughter with. In righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Rob believed, brother guy, go to brother guy. Now, brother guy believed that this book came from God. He didn't believe it was a private interpretation. Well, that's what the pastor say. And by the way, I'm Brother Brooks. I'm not the pastor. And I'm not reverend. Because the Bible says all men are called brethren. I did that growing up. But that's not what I believe now. When I'm laying my soul on these facts to be true. And I know that's what he done. I know that. This book's right. It's not a private interpretation. It's not something some man drummed up a fiction story. The Bible says 2 Peter 1, 20-21, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. John 16:13, Jesus told his apostles, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he guides you into all truth. Brother God believed this was all true. So you say, when he believed it was all truth, then he asked, what must I do to make sure tonight God called my name. When my soul is required, will I die a fool? What he heard was an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Ladies and gentlemen, over 2,000 years ago, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, hung, bled, and died, and suffered for 6 hours after being beaten with a whip, nails in his hands, hung him on the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And he drew this man unto him. How you know that, brother? Because I know what he obeyed. He had to hear the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. He had to, number two, believe it with all of his heart. He had to. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He that come to him must believe that he rewarded them that diligently seek him. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We preach this to him. Jesus, when he resurrected from the grave, and I like the song, say when he rose with all power, when he got it with all power, Matthew 28, 18, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, commanded by Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection of a crucified, suffering Savior on the cross. It was not the two men on the side, but it was the man in the middle that made the difference. After hanging on the cross and he resurrected and gave the command that he obeyed. He said, go preach the gospel. Somebody, Brother Whitley, preach the gospel to him. He here. That man with beautiful feet brought the message to this man who needed to prepare for this night. He heard him preach. He believed it with all of his heart. He had to make a decision like you're going to do today in this room. You're going to leave a fool, or you'll die a fool, or you'll leave listening. And your I will be the last one. I will obey God. You better have that I will to meet his will. I'm not willing that any should perish. That's not his will. That's your will if you die outside of Christ. That wasn't his will. He repented. He was about to. He said, I command all men everywhere to come to repentance. He did. He had to make a change. You might believe what mama believed. Die what mama, grandma believed. Die what Uncle Joe believed. Die what Reverend so-and-so believed. Right? Die what father so-and-so. He didn't do that. He died believing what God said. Because God is going to be the one who say, but God said, fool, this night. A soul is required. After he heard, believed, repented, after this man preached to him, he made a confession. How do you know? Because the Bible says it. He didn't confess me before God. Jesus said, I confess him before my Father. Matthew 10, 32, Luke chapter 12. He said, he didn't confess God before men. I confess before the angels in heaven. Number two. He said, if you deny me, you're a fool. That's what he's saying. Because I will deny you. Fourth, what was the confession? It wasn't like I did growing up, Lord, I'm a sinner, come to my heart, accepting my personal Savior. That is not in this will. There's some I wills out there. I want him to just say, all I got to do is say I believe. That's not in here. I know I ain't in here. I'm from Hemp Hill, Texas, so I know that I country talk, but you get it. Yeah, here's what he said. In Acts chapter 8, the man was in the desert. There was supposed to be no water in the desert. A man was seeking God, like Sister Dunbar said. She was a seeker when she found the truth. Let me drop the bomb. You ain't going to find it if you ain't looking. Matthew 7, 13, and he ain't at the straight gate. Jesus said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Many fools will die. It leads to destruction. Any man die not obeying this book is a fool. It leads to the struggle. But Jesus said, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way. You better know what you're doing. It leads to life, and few there be that find it. You better look. 6, Dunbar said, Jesus said, shall seek me and die in your sins. Where I am, you cannot come. Let me help you understand that every funeral is not a home-going celebration. Number 5. He was baptized. He heard, didn't he, brother? Correct, you correct me if I'm wrong. He believed it. He repented. You took his confession. And you baptized him in water. Is that correct? Yes. He was baptized. Why? Jesus commanded it. Why Peter in Acts 2:38 baptized 3,000? 2:38. Same day, not 2 weeks later, after they prayed a sinner's prayer. He didn't do that. The chief of sinners was down on knees praying. Ananias went to him, Acts 22:16. He said, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. You can't call on the name of the Lord until your sins have been washed away. Amen. Got it out of order. And after that, there's something in the water you got to believe in. You never seen it. How many of y'all believe in Jesus? Amen. You ain't never seen him. So your belief ain't based on somebody you saw. This is the only way you can know about him. So if I believe in Jesus, then I'll believe what else the book says, right? So the book says in Revelation 1:5 that sins will wash away your sins. Blood will wash away your sins. Hebrews 9:22 said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Whose blood? Jesus said, his blood will wash away our sins. And if a person believe that, they'll believe when the soldier pierced him in the side in John 19:34, out came blood and water. And no one would ever say water is not essential. Because if your house on fire, you call for water, don't you? You know water is essential. Especially if God said it. So they would take him in the water. And they would say, brother guy, Mr. Guy, do you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. He said, we baptize you and for the remission of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they took him and they buried him. A death, a burial, a dead sinner, bury him in water. Under the water, his sins are washed away. He obeyed the Spirit, and he rise to walk a new life. He came up a member of the Lord's church. How you know, brother? Brooks, the only one in the Bible. The Bible said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He told his daughter the truth. I wish there were other churches in there I could preach about. There ain't in there, y'all. I speak the truth in love. I don't say that to hurt, because I grew up Baptist. Grew up calling them reverends and taking the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday every month. I grew up with all that. I taught a lot of Baptist priests, some of them in this room. But when you believe the Bible over you, you'll do what Psalm 111, verse 9 says. Holy and reverence is God's name. Amen. Matthew 23:9 says, call no man father, for you all brethren. So I had to make some changes. You know why I want to make those changes? I didn't want to die a fool. So I'm going to try to do it. Just like worship. We're going to sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. I know David had them, but Jesus was still living. Jesus hadn't died and resurrected. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. The church is his wife. We call her brother guy, sister, wife, sister guy. She wears his name. The Bible says Ephesians 5:20, the husband, the head of the wife, even as Christ, is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. In verse 32, Paul said, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. He wasn't talking about man and his wife. He was telling them about Christ and his church. His church is his wife, and his wife wears his name. That's why he told her, his daughter, that. Romans 16:16, Paul came out and just told him, salute one another, holy kids. The churches of Christ salute you. Amen. So what was he doing? Preparing for this night. What am I telling you to do? You come here on Sunday morning, you will see us sing, hear us sing. You will hear us preach from the Word of God. We don't have man-made creeds and doctrines on the wall. We're going to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We're going to give as we prosper. And we're going to confess our faults when we mess up. And we're going to baptize everybody who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And believe there's water in that Bible. There's blood in that water. I want to close with this to the family. I want to say this to you. Death is a pain intended by God. Ecclesiastes 1:13. He said, this sore travail had God given to the sons of men to be exercised. Death is a sore, painful event. But you got to exercise. What do you mean? You got to deal with it. You got two options. You can deal with it with God, or you can deal with it without God. What's your choice? With God. The people ain't the enemy. You know that, right? The devil want us all not to like each other, hate each other, and don't listen to the book. That's what he want. But if all of us in here think like I'm thinking, we'll stop talking about our wills so we don't have to be fools. Amen. So here's the thing. What it can do, it can bring, you can start saying, I will come to worship. I will be baptized. I will take the Lord's Supper Sunday. I will give right. I will serve. I will do God's will. If this death bring his children to obey God and don't hear him say to them, thou fool, this was the best day of their life. If his son, daughters, brothers and sisters and friends and grandchildren, if only one out of the whole audience get what I said today, the death purpose was met. It was met. And then to those who done left the truth, you left the church of Christ. You know the truth. You left it. You didn't believe it. You don't leave a burning house and then go back in it. You left because you didn't believe. Did he leave? No. Why? He believed it. You better die believing something. If you don't, you're going to die believing there ain't no God, then just go and do that. You're going to die believing the book don't mean nothing, then do it. But I'm saying to you, what I believe Brother Geist did, he didn't die a fool, and he died rich toward God. That's my opinion. I ain't judging his life. I just know what he did based on what I saw. Now, but I do know this. I did judge him with this, but Jesus wrote this. He said, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, had one that judged him. The words I spoke, the same, will judge in the last day. It behooves you to hear this gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized today. Not tomorrow, because you got your I will going. I'll be here in the morning. Will he? Or will he say, fool, you ain't going to make it tomorrow. Tonight, your soul is required. So I'm saying to the family first, let Brother Guy death, talk about how much you love him. Let his death be the greatest thing ever happened to you and get your life right with God. To his grandchildren, don't listen to people. Listen to the book, to his children, to the family, to friends, to associates, to members of the Church of Christ who have left. Let Brother Guy's death bring it back. Why? You can say this. I will not die hearing God say, fool, you thought you're going to live forever? So we say, well, Brother Brooks, that's kind of tough. Well, yeah, life is tough. Life is tough. Life is tough. I'm not talking to everybody. What I'm talking to is the one who's seeking the truth. The truth is narrow. So I don't put it down on other people. It's put it down on people who don't believe this is the right way. So that's what Brother Geist did. I believe and know that Brother Geist would have wanted me to do it just like this or something like this, because he always complimented me after every funeral. He always comes. I just wish I could speak. I said, Brother Geist, you do good. He never would give himself. He wouldn't ever live. He just wanted to be better. He went through my ministry program, preached at the nursing home. He'd always say he wasn't good enough. He was just an humble man. But you know what he didn't die? I don't believe. A fool. I think he died rich toward God. I think he did. Now, this sermon is recorded. We have free CDs The repast is here. You stay around, we'll give you one. Go back and listen to it. If you're here today, you won't get baptized today. We baptize many times right after the funeral. Water ready, clothes are ready. Angels don't stand by, the fool can wait. But don't die tonight, fool. Outside of the Church of Christ, not being baptized, not taking communion every Sunday. Don't die calling your preacher a reverend. Don't die say I'm in a church you can't read about in the Bible. What is the advice for those who don't want to die a fool? And then to all of us who are members of the church, we better learn to love and forgive.
Amen.
Regardless of what somebody do. We all got to die and face the one who's going to say, thou fool. Amen?
Amen.
And so to the guys, to the brother, guys, y'all, I did what I would have done for my own family. And I just did that a couple weeks ago, back in my hometown. I talked to them the same way I'm talking to us. Why? When you have to sit on these front rows and somebody in your family pass, you start thinking about life. You start thinking about, man, you know, I don't want to hate nobody. I don't want nobody to hate me. You just want to be good. You want to love, forgive. You want to do everything God says. I don't want to miss no Bible class. I don't want to miss no communion on Sunday. I don't want to miss no afternoon services. I don't want to miss being, I don't want to ever miss hearing the word being preached. And if I could preach a funeral every day, I would. Because we got more people listening at a funeral than you ever have on Sunday morning. Some of y'all ain't gonna come back to hear us ever again.
Amen.
But you can't, nobody in my audience would ever die saying, I didn't know. You would die saying, you didn't believe it. Amen?
Amen.
So with that being said, also we are uploaded to the website and you'll be able to go back and listen to it, share it with others. And so we love you all. We spoke the truth in love. And pray you receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Back in the hands of
Amen. Him, sir.